He helps his fellow prisoners with their dreams and eventually helps Pharaoh interpret his dream that tells of the 7 years of plenty followed by the 7 years of famine. As a result, Pharaoh makes him prime minister of his realm with responsibility for social affairs. Once he had worn a special tunic with long sleeves, one, we may say, of many colors. Now he wears garments of linen and a gold necklace. Next, the scene shifts back to Canaan. The famine has begun, and Jacob's family is determined to seek food in Egypt. A game of cat and mouse begins. Joseph's brothers are depicted as confused rustics. Jacob, elderly now, is in despair at the loss of Joseph, at the news that Simeon is being held hostage, and that now Benjamin is to be taken away. Both the brothers and Jacob are baffled by the return of their money and their sacks, and then by the appearance of Joseph's silver cup in their sacks. Joseph framed Benjamin, his full brother, who is innocent of any wrongdoing, and is now claimed a slave as Joseph offers to let the other brothers go free. During this time of testing by Joseph, will the brothers sell Rachel's other son into slavery, just as they sold Joseph? Will they buy their own freedom at the expense of Jacob's remaining beloved son? Judah and the brothers pass the test, with Judah not abandoning Benjamin. In a moving speech, he describes how he swore to their father Jacob that he would bring Benjamin back. He tells Joseph that their father has already lost one beloved son, and that if he loses another, he will die. Judah then offers himself as a slave in place of Benjamin and says, "Now therefore, please let your servant remain as a slave to my Lord in place of the boy, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the suffering that would come upon my father." Well, it seems that Judah and the other brothers have changed over the course of time. Gone is the intense hatred they once held for the beloved son of their father. There's no hint that they envy or hate Benjamin for the special place he holds in their father's heart. They bear the guilt of the way of what they did to Joseph, interpreting the trouble they're experiencing as punishment for their sin long ago. Now they have repented, and they are determined to save Benjamin. It's this change of heart and the compassion they show for their elderly father that moves Joseph to reveal himself to them. He's been speaking to them through an interpreter, pretending that he doesn't speak Hebrew. Now, he sends all the Egyptians away and speaks directly to his brother and becomes bewildered and dumbfounded as he calls him closer to him and says, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery, which brought me to Egypt." But then he quickly reassures them, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. It was not you who sent me here, but God." In the last chapters of the story of Joseph, and I do encourage everyone to read the story of Joseph, it's chapters Genesis 37 through 50. We see that God has been at work all along in the events of Joseph's life. God has not spoken to Joseph directly as he did to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. But God has been working through him. In Joseph, we see the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God made everything Joseph did prosper, even in slavery, even in prison. And when Joseph ascends to be second in command in Egypt God uses him to save the whole known world during the Great Famine.